Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever, and welcome to another episode of Role Model. What can I say? It's another beautiful day in Dhaka in Bangladesh, and as you probably can hear, I'm literally in the middle of Dhaka right now, and I just listened to a speech by Proctor, and I thought, you know what, I want to share it right now because it's so good, so much value. And you guys know I'm obsessed with visualization. I always say it, like, if I just think back, like 1 year ago, I visualized exactly the life that I have right now. Like living in Bali, doing whatever I want to do every single day. Like it's incredible how happy I am. And I visualized it, and I wish the same for you. That's the reason why I'm gonna share this speech right now. Check Bob Proctor out. He's like the godfather of visualization and this whole law of attraction thing. I'm gonna shut up now. I'm actually filming a documentary right now. This is my break. That's what I'm doing. Doing breaks. Enjoy. And if you haven't already, leave a review for this podcast. Like seriously, if it brings any value, or if it maybe already brought some value to your life, go leave a review on iTunes for this podcast. And now, enjoy this episode.
See, people don't resist change. People resist being changed.
Yes.
That's right. We've got to change ourselves. We've got to build a new image, a picture in our mind. We've got to see ourselves the way we want to be. And then we have to live with it. That's, you go to the gym workout, that's what you do. You build a picture of how you want to see this arm, and you build that picture, and then you build the body. Well, you build the life in your mind. Take your pen and write out how you want to live, and always start by writing, I'm so happy and grateful now that. And the second you write it, you've got it intellectually. The moment you impress it upon your emotional mind, you've got it emotionally. And it's only a period of time till it manifests on the physical plane.
Yeah.
Spirit works from a higher to a lower potential.
Let that little yellow dot on the screen represent your level of awareness. This represents your level of awareness. This is what you're aware of. Now, everything you've got in your life, everything, your relationships, your money, everything, is an expression of your own level of awareness. See, people that earn $50,000 a year are not earning $50 because they want $50. People are earning $50 because they're not aware of how to earn $150. People that are suffering from headaches, they're not suffering from headaches because they want to suffer from headaches. They're suffering from headaches because they're not aware of how to eliminate the headache. It's their head. They made it ache. They can make it stop. So you see, it's awareness we're after. Now think of this. If that little dot represents our awareness and it's responsible for everything we've got in life, just think of how your life could change if we magnify it just a little bit. I mean, everything would start to change. Our relationships would change. We would be healthier. We would live in healthier bodies. We would know more people. We'd earn more money. We'd be able to do more interesting things. And if we just increased it a little bit more, everything starts to shift. Well, I've been living this way now for 40 years. It's absolutely fascinating. I celebrated my 70th birthday last week. I got more energy than most people, 20. I have absolutely no intentions of slowing down. People should say, you should slow down. That's a bunch of crap. We should speed up. We've got more power. Yet, do you know the most erudite scientist alive can't even guess at what you and I are capable of doing? No one knows what we're capable of. All the power is omnipresent. That's within you, within me. Slow down. We're just starting to warm up. What we want to do is calm down. You can go at warp speed and stay very healthy if you stay relaxed. And that's really the secret. Now, just imagine we expand our awareness a little more. Do you know what this program is doing for you today? It's expanding your awareness. That's what the program is all about. Every time you come to one of these programs, your awareness is widened. Your world starts to change. You think, oh, yeah. That's pretty interesting. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Our awareness keeps changing. Do you know that no one knows how much money you're capable of earning? There's no one can even guess at what you're capable of earning. We want to become aware. We're like we are because we're not aware of how to do it better. We know how to do it better. Every person in this room intellectually knows how to do a better job than they're doing. Everyone in the room knows how to earn more than they're earning, but they're not doing it. You see, having the knowledge is not the deal. Having the knowledge, I remember when I was a kid, a school teacher would say to me, "Bob, why'd you do that?" And I'd say, "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know? You know better." "I know. Why'd you do it?" "I don't know." "I was in the Navy. Every commanding officer, Proctor, why did you do that?" "I don't know, sir." "What do you mean you don't know? You know better." "I know. Why'd you do it?" "I don't know." You see, I didn't know why I was doing things. Do you know that we do things that we don't want to do? It gives us results we don't want to get. Yet we do them anyway. Do you know what addiction is? It's never getting enough of what you don't want. Yet a lot of people are addicted to results that they don't want. Why do we keep doing it? You see, I think when we start to see that, that's when we start to become aware of how to take control over our life. And that's really what we want to do. So you see, awareness is the big deal. We want to become aware of the obvious opportunities that are available to us. We are surrounded by opportunity. They're everywhere you go. There is an abundance, there's no shortage of opportunity. We can win, and we can win in a big way. Now, when we lack awareness, we miss the opportunity. I used to always say that, you know, the trick is to be in the right place at the right time. I've been in the right place at the right time many times in my life, but I blew it. You know why? I wasn't aware that I was in the right place at the right time. I had to look back at it. Think of it. There's something else. It's being aware that you're in the right place at the right time is not good enough. You've got to be aware that you're in the right place at the right time. Habits. Good habits will give you results that stick. Bad habits will destroy everything. I have some bad habits. That's right. All my habits are not great. So if you've got some bad habits, don't feel bad. So does your next door neighbor. So does your mentor, your coach. So does your mother and father if they're alive. So does everyone. And the trick of life is to replace a bad habit with a good habit. I used to hang around bars all the time. And one day I went in, I picked up a glass, and I looked around, and I thought, they're all bums in here. And then it dawned on me, I'm always here. I learned something. I put the glass down, and I said, I'm never coming back here again, and I'm never going to drink this, and I never did. That was a long time ago. But you know what I did? I went from spending all my money in the bar to the racetrack, and I started to bet it all on horses. So I went from making somebody with a bar get wealthy, and then I started to feed the horses. And one day I woke up, and I learned something. If you don't consciously and deliberately replace a bad habit with a good habit, you will automatically create another bad habit. Now, what is a habit? A habit is an idea that has been planted in the garden of your subconscious mind and then repetitively fed for a sufficient period of time that you act on it without giving any thought to it. I'll give you an example. I want you to right now mentally imagine you're pulling on your underwear in the morning. What foot do you put in first? I put my right foot in. If I tried to put my left foot in my underwear first, I'd stagger and I'd fall over. You may say, what's this got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. Why do I put my right foot? You may put your left. Certainly a lot of people do. Well, when I was just a little gaffer, didn't have a clue of how to put underwear on, my mother or my grandmother or my father or somebody came along and they had the underwear read, put your foot in here. Your other foot. What did they do? They had the underwear prepared as if they were going to put it on. And so pretty soon, I was doing it like they were doing it. They, through repetition, planted the idea in my hand, in my mind. Well, now think of this. You don't just form habits of how to get dressed. You form habits to do everything that you do. And some of them are not that productive. Any idea that you keep dwelling on and impressing upon your subconscious mind becomes fixed in the subconscious mind. A habit is nothing but an idea that's fixed in the subconscious mind that you act on without giving any conscious thought. Many years ago, I went in to train the Prudential Insurance Company of America, their agents. I ended up training all of their agents. And I only got them to do two things. This is in the early 70s. I got them to form the habit of being in front of a prospect before 9 a.m. and ask everybody they talk to purchase $100,000 worth of insurance. I said, you don't have to sell them. Just give them the opportunity to say no. You know, the sales in that company went up by hundreds of millions of dollars. I had a retired VP tell me he thought it was a billion. Just changing two habits. What habit do you want to change? I'm forever checking out habits I've got. I'm in the habit right now of changing my diet. And you know something? I've been doing it for going on 3 weeks. It's getting easier, but it's still not that easy. I'd still like to reach over and eat some of that when nobody's looking. Doesn't work. I'm looking. What habit are you going to form? And you shouldn't try and form more than two at once. It'll become too big and too heavy, and you won't form any. Make up your mind you're going to do it every day, every day, every day, until you don't have to think about it, and then you'll automatically do it. I guarantee you, this idea will change your life. Think about it all day, because that is definitely an idea that will give you results that will stick.
Right now, I'm standing in the middle of my library. This is my favorite place. Do you know, Earl Nightingale said, if you surround your mind with greatness, some of it's going to rub off. Well, hopefully, some of it has rubbed off on me. I have maybe 3,000 or 4,000 books here on the shelf. They're all in alphabetical order by author. They're all cataloged. So I know where to find something just like that. I go by authors more than the title of the book. Do you know that when I started studying these books, I really didn't know very much about anything. I had 2 months high school. I was 26 years old. I had a bad work record, a bad attitude, and virtually no experience. And you know, in a relatively short period of time, my income went from $4,000 to $175,000 a year. Then it went over $1 million.
I'm going to share some information with you that it could change the direction of your life like night and day. And when I say that, I want you to really stop and take a look at your life. Take an honest look at your life. I was thinking just before I start to make this, we have actually been conditioned to kid with ourselves, to lie to ourselves, to not really take an honest look at the results we're getting. I want you to take a real honest look at your results. And when you look at them, ask yourself, am I living the way I really want to live? You see, most people aren't. One of the first questions I ask a person that comes to work with me, I want to know what's the most they've ever earned in a year. Now, I really don't care what the answer is, but I want to know what the answer is. Because you see, if a person says the most they've ever earned in a year is $50,000, I know where their mind is programmed. If they tell me the most they've ever earned is $250,000, I know where they're programmed. And then I want to find out what they want. And I know then what has to shift, because their mind is programmed, and if they're really going to live the way they want to live, they've got to change the program. And if they don't change the program, then nothing really happens. I want to suggest that you make up your mind you're going to get in what we call the success zone. It's a way of thinking. Now, get this. If 95, 96% of the population are blowing it, if 1% of the population are earning about 95% of all the money, you're not going to get a whole lot of people agree with what you're doing. Most people are going to look at you kind of strange. What are you going there for? You went there last month. What are you listening to that for? You listened to that before. What are you reading? What do you read the same book over and over for? They don't understand. And you see, they're advertising their ignorance by the questions they ask. When we get into the success zone, everything in our life starts to change. But understand this, you're going to be a bit of an oddball. You're out of the box. You're not one of the masses. And when you get out of the box, your whole world starts to shift.
There's a boss and there's a leader. Leader get people excited about improving the quality of whatever it is, themselves, their work, whatever they're doing. People follow leaders because they want to. People don't follow leaders because they have to. Yeah. That becomes a form of dictatorship.
Yeah.
And that never works. The great leaders, people want to follow. And Leaders inspire you. Leaders pull the very best out of you. Leaders know how to look inside and bring the best of you to the surface, cause you to look at the higher side of your own personality. What the world always is looking for, it's leader. Like, it's silly to ask who's going to lead. The leader's going to lead. Right. And the leader just automatically emerges. If they threw 50 of us into a committee and say, you don't elect a leader, you may elect one, but the leader's going to lead, and it probably isn't the one that's elected.
Yeah, so true.
And the leader knows how. They know how to get the best out of people.
I want to talk to you about where you're going and what you want to do with your life. You see, most people never go after what they want because they don't know every step they have to take to get there. I want you to think of a person going up the side of a wall of ice. Now, the only rule for reaching a goal that you have to know is knowing where you're going and knowing that you're going to get there. You do not have to know how you're going to get there. Now, pay attention to this for a moment. Imagine the climber has all his equipment. He's got his crampons, he's got his climbing rope, his hardware, his ice axes. How does he get to the top? He's standing on the ground and he's looking at maybe a 100-foot vertical wall of ice. He looks up and he has absolutely no idea the path that he's going to take. He just sees himself at the top. He reaches up and he puts one pick in and then another pick. Then he raises one foot and then the other. Now he's not standing on the ground any longer. He's suspended on the wall on a vertical wall of ice that goes up for 100 feet. He adapts to the changes that is taking place in his environment. And then and only then does he see the next step. And he moves this pick, then this pick, then this foot, then this foot. Now, that's how he gets to the top, a step at a time. And that's how you're going to get to your goal. You just have to know the first step to take. And when you take that step, you're going to find that your conditions, your circumstance, and environment will change. Then you see how you have to make the next step. It's a matter of adapting all the time. You only have to know two things. You have to know where you're going, and you have to know that you're going to get there. You've got to see it in your mind. Now, this is the beautiful scenario. This is what it's all about. Save that in your mind and think of it often. Think. Every time you think of your goal and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it, think of that vertical wall of ice. What's the next step? That's all you really have to know. One step at a time. And you'll get to wherever you're going. That's how Hillary got to the top of Mount Everest.
In Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, he said, now right here we come to a rather strange fact. We tend to minimize the things we can do, the goals we can accomplish, and for some equally strange reason, we think other people can accomplish things that we cannot. And he points out that there's a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive them. He said, no one's ready for a thing until they believe that they can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief and not mere hope or wish. Now, he goes on to caution us. He said, open-mindedness is essential to belief. Closed minds will not inspire faith, courage, or belief.
A German engineer by the name of Carl Benz had a fantasy, and he literally turned his fantasy into a fact. And in January 1886, Carl Benz was issued a patent for the Benz motor carriage, and the age of the automobile had dawned. This is a replica of that magnificent machine. And you know, before Benz ever turned his fantasy into a theory, even long, certainly long before he turned it into a fact, he had to ask himself a couple of questions that you and I and every other dreamer will have to go through. He had to ask himself, am I able to do this? Well, he seemed to have that innate awareness of this higher self, this image of perfection within him, and he saw himself as a person that was actually able to take and turn the fantasy into a fact. Now, he must have been a pretty courageous guy because there were no horseless carriages in those days. But then he had to ask himself, am I willing? And you see, he had to ask himself, am I willing to accept the ridicule that I'm bound to get? Am I willing to accept the failures? Well, he said, yes, I am willing. He was willing to pay the ultimate price to turn his fantasy into a fact. And ridicule he got. His own partner thought he had gone mad, and he had to find himself a more congenial colleague to work with. He would take this thing out in the evening. He'd take it out at night, so no one would see him. He'd escape some of the ridicule. And time after time, he couldn't get it going. He had to push it back. But it never dawned on him that he would not ultimately realize his dream. When this magnificent machine completed its first long journey with Benz at the wheel, every beat of the engine found an answering echo in the heart of the driver, as every turn of the wheels brought him closer to his goal, to the realization of what once was a fantasy. Now, in order for you to turn your fantasies into a fact, you have to go through exactly the same process as Carl Benz. And if you do go through the same process, you'll meet with exactly the same success, regardless of the opposition you might come up against. You have to ask, am I able to turn this fantasy of mine into a fact? Can I actually realize it? Can I turn my dreams into reality? Now, you're either going to say, yes, I'm able to, or no, I'm not. If you realize you are able, if you have an understanding of this potential, this power within you, then you have to ask yourself, are you willing? And there's a long series of tests there. You don't even know what you're going to come up against. One thing is for certain, you'll come up against ridicule. You may have to move. You may have to do all kinds of things that you don't even think about. You have to be willing to do whatever's required if you really want to turn your fantasy into a fact. The second you say, yes, I'm willing, at that instant, you've created your theory.
Thank you guys so much for watching. I made this video because Will Gilbert asked me to. So if there's a famous entrepreneur that you are going to profile next, check out the link in the description and you can go and cast your vote. I also love to know which clip resonated the most with you, what lesson are you going to take from this video and immediately apply to your life or to your business somehow. Leave it down in the comments below. I'm really curious to find out what you have to say. I also want to give a quick shout out to Tuan Nguyen. Thank you so much, Randy, for picking up 10 copies of my book, sharing it with your friends, and posting that awesome review on Amazon. I really appreciate the support, man, and I'm really glad that you enjoyed my book. Thank you guys so much for watching. I believe in you. I hope you continue to believe in yourself and whatever your one word is. Much love. I'll see you soon.
Your present or past results have absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen from this point forward. Now, that was the point that Ray Stanford drilled into my head. You see, I kept thinking, well, gee, I'm such a mess up. You know, I've done everything wrong up till now. I'm 26. I'm broke. I'm not happy. Everything was wrong. He said, Bob, that's all in the past. He said, every moment is a new moment. We shouldn't condemn ourselves. And he said, what you were yesterday, you paid for. What you are today, you decide upon. That's exactly what Troy Ward's saying. This power in no way is limited by precedent. Even in a creative state, we sometimes don't understand that. Do you know why airplanes, right up to today almost, have wings on them? Because birds have wings. Birds fly, they have wings. Going to get a plane to fly, you got to put wings on it. Do you? No. We've got planes flying without wings today. You know why? Never did need wings. But you see, the thinking was, to a degree, limited by precedent. Birds fly with wings. Planes have to have wings. Planes do not have to have wings. You're creative. If you can visualize it, you can do it. It doesn't matter what it is. That's what Hill said. Anything the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
You see, the beautiful part about goals and understanding it is goals are not to get. Goals is not, you don't set goals for acquisition. You set goals to grow. You set goals to reach inside and stretch and go where you've never been. You set goals to take you to a place you've never gone before. And you grow as a human being, and you know something, you never go back.
Choice is one of the most important concepts that you can get. We're going to be talking about the laws of the universe. One of the laws is the law of polarity. There'd be no inside to the room you're in if there wasn't an outside. You couldn't have a right side of your body without a left, or a top without a bottom, or a front without a back.
You can't have a bad without a good. See, the truth is we make it bad or good. Ralph Waldo Trine, in Tune with the Infinite, a great book, he said, nothing is good or bad except our thinking will make it so. Well, if everything's both good and bad, and we bring it together, what's right in the center? If everything here is bad, everything here is good, what's in the center? Just is. Everything just is. You choose whether you're going to look at the downside or the upside. Michael Beckwith gave me a marvelous concept. He said, it doesn't matter what happens in your life. Doesn't matter what happens. You can't control the circumstance, but you can certainly control how you deal with them. He said, when anything happens, step number one, it is what it is, accept it. It's either going to control you or you're going to control it. That's a choice. Step number two, harvest the good. Isn't that a neat word, harvest? Harvest the good. There's good and bad and everything. Just harvest the good. Step number three, forgive all the rest. Forgive means let go of completely. It's a choice. Yet if you let go of the bad, the good seems to grow. You and I have a choice. It may be a difficult choice sometimes if you're dealing with a particular difficult individual or a particularly difficult circumstance. Nevertheless, we've got the power within us to do it. So as you go through the day, doesn't matter what anybody says, doesn't matter what happens, you have a choice to say, that's good. W. Clement Stone became the wealthiest man in the United States of America by 1970 because he always said, that's good. Doesn't matter what it was, he'd say, that's good. And then he'd look for the good.